You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. At this time, we're coming to a story. We're coming to a true story. We find it in the Holy Scriptures. God wants us to know the Bible is the Word of God, so we can know it is all true. And the story is going to take us all the way back to the time of creation. It's going to take us through the entire Old Testament era, all the way up to the birth of Jesus Christ. These are all historical events, and they all happened for us in our salvation. They happened even for the entire world, even though many in the world don't really know about their need. They don't know what happened, and they don't really care. God wants us to know that He loves us. He did it for us. He did it for our salvation. So as we hear the familiar story again, let's marvel at how much God loves us and how through Jesus Christ, the way has been made. About 6,000 years ago, God the Father worked through God the Son to create the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. The Bible says that God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. That means it was perfect. However, when Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil, they could not resist the temptation, and they both fell into sin. Since at that time, Adam and Eve, they were the entire human race. Therefore, when they fell into sin, that meant that all these sad realities that came upon them with sin, they passed on to all future generations. The Bible says, just as sin entered the world through one man, that would be Adam, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. We know that death is a terrible thing, and some people want to blame God, but yet it is the people who brought that upon themselves, and one day God's going to take it away, but not yet. Even though the action of the first people brought sin, brought immediate spiritual death, that meant that the relationship between Adam and Eve and God, it was severed immediately. even though that first action that they did brought eventual physical death and eventual eternal punishment, and also they were completely helpless to remove their sins and to restore their relationship with God. If you really think about all of that, it was a very helpless, horrible situation. Therefore, what happened though? On the very day they fell into sin, God didn't leave them waiting and wondering. On the very day they fell into sin, God promised to send the Savior as a future descendant of the woman. These are the words of doom that God spoke upon the devil again on that very day they fell into sin. God said to him, "I will put enmity," that means hostility, "between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He," that is the coming Savior, "will crush your head and you will strike his heel." At this time, we jump ahead nearly 2,000 years. So about 2,000 years after the Lord first promised to send a Savior, then the Lord appeared to Abram. Sometimes we think of him as Abraham. His name will be changed later. But he appeared to Abram, and the Lord said to him, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That doesn't make any sense, does it? How is it possible that God could bless all peoples in the whole world through Abram? Well, what God was talking about, he was saying, "Abram, one of your future descendants is going to be my son who is going to be the Savior of the world." So that's how, through Abram, he would bless everyone. And then, about 1,300 years later, so we're going very rapidly through history here, about 1,300 years later, in other words, about 700 years before the time of Christ, the Holy Spirit moved Isaiah to tell us how the promised Savior could be identified and who he would really be. Isaiah spoke this prophecy: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." So, for serious and for true Old Testament believers, they knew the Savior would be born of a virgin, and they believed it. God said it and they believed it. Seems impossible, doesn't it? But let's remember, God can do anything. He is almighty. Let's remember that God must do whatever he has said because he is a holy God and he cannot lie. So they knew the Savior would be born of a virgin, and they knew the Savior would be literally God with us. So God was going to come down among the people, put on human flesh, and be with them. What an awesome thing. And where would this promised Savior be born? Well, God moved Micah to write this prophecy. Micah wrote, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," now keep in mind there were two Bethlehems back then, so he distinguishes exactly which one, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times. By God's grace, by God's word of truth, and by God the Holy Spirit, the Old Testament believers, they knew they were sinners, and they believed in the promised Savior to come. Therefore, they knew that when that Savior came, their sins would be taken away. So as they looked ahead in faith, they had the forgiveness of their sins, as by faith they believed in the one who would come and do the work God promised he would do. Now we've jumped ahead another 700 years or so, and it was almost time for God the Father to send his Son into the world. So what did he do first? He sent the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, the future father of John the Baptizer, and Gabriel said to Zechariah, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will bring many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So that was Gabriel talking to Zechariah, and then about 6 months later, Gabriel comes, appears to Mary, and talks to her. So when we think about John and Jesus, 6 months difference between the two of them. Now Gabriel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. For the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." In this next Bible passage, just one more before we get to the Christmas story, but in this next one, though, it tells us what happened then 9 months later, because on the day that Gabriel spoke to Mary, that was the very day that she became pregnant with Jesus, and then 9 months later, the Bible tells us what happened here when it says, "When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." What does that mean? God made us, God loves us, and God has made the one way for us to be with him forever. And how did he do that? He did that through his son Jesus. And who is Jesus? He is the Christ of Christmas. As recorded by St. Luke, this is the true story of Jesus' birth.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register.
So Joseph also went out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Even though God could have announced the birth of his son to the entire world in a most spectacular way, God chose to announce his birth to shepherds who were working near Bethlehem. St. Luke used these words to describe exactly what happened. The shepherds, upon hearing such wonderful news, hurried off to Bethlehem to see the Savior of all, Christ the Lord. St. Luke used these words to describe what happened.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Regarding those shepherds, they believed the words of the Lord spoken through an angel. They also saw the baby lying in a manger. Then they spread the good news of the Savior's birth to others. Think about it. After 4,000 years of waiting, the Savior had finally arrived. Therefore, with their hearts, they believed. With their sins forgiven, they rejoiced. And with their mouths, they told others the good news. Tonight on this Christmas Eve, tomorrow on Christmas Day, throughout this blessed season, and even into 2020, may God move us to do those very same things in our daily lives. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.